Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about making money, we talk about what happens even after you do. Because the truth is, a lot of people work hard to become successful and then quietly drown in the complexity that comes with it. Businesses, taxes, investments, insurance, legal issues, teams, family. I'm exhausted just saying all of that. And suddenly, nothing feels simple anymore. And the dangerous part is that most people are making major life decisions without anyone actually connecting the dots. And God didn't bless us with an increase in our life so we could become chaotic with it, okay? He calls us to stewardship, to wisdom, to order. So today, let's talk about what happens when success outgrows structure. Today's guest is Dale Montgomery. He's a strategist helping business owners stop operating in silos and start making coordinated decisions. So, Dale, thank you so much for your time today for coming into the hot seat. Take me to the moment where you saw someone, or maybe even yourself, who looked wildly successful on paper, but behind the scenes, things are falling apart. What happened?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure
Yeah.
being here. The group I represent, a virtual, I'm the director of advanced planning for a virtual family office. And so I think the best way to really describe what you're talking about, because you are on a really important topic, because success is one thing, but everything that goes along with it and the amount of balls you got to keep in the air. The more successful you get, it becomes almost not worth it in some cases because it costs your health and relationships. You see a lot of successful people that are divorced, or their health is failing, and stress will take out your health in a heartbeat or real quickly, and it plays a toll on your work-life balance, and so your relationships take a hit. So the family office, people have heard of that term. Some have never heard of the term, but most people have heard of the term family office. And where it came from are the original family office, according to what I've done as far as research, which entails Google. Let's face it, research nowadays, everybody's just Google or using whatever browser. Now they're using AI for research. But so on record is J.D. Rockefeller back in 1882. And so that was the problem he was running into as his businesses were growing and everything was going right. He had all these separate advisors coming at him, CPAs and tax attorneys and financial advisors and insurance people and whoever else that comes along with that level of success he was starting to obtain. And he just realized that, okay, this is too much for me to quarterback and take all this advice coming at him, and they're not collaborating. They're just coming in from their own silo of expertise. And he was trying to figure out which way to go and what to do. And so he just hired everybody and said, "You're only working for me, and you're going to collaborate. You're not going to come with me all with all this different advice. You're going to collaborate with each other, and we're going to get unified, one voice, one plan, and one strategy." And it obviously worked out really well for the Rockefellers. And from there, the concept, the family office, took off. And today, so people like Oprah Winfrey has a family office, but she's a billionaire and she pays 20 to 30 billion, reportedly paying that much. Bill Gates has a family office. He's paying upwards of 200 million a year. And then the Waltons of the Walmart fame is paying closer to 300 million a year. And Michael Jordan has a family office, and I forget what the number was, but it's a lot. And so the family office is a great concept for the billionaires. And then the next generation was a multi-family office, and that brought the cost down, you don't have to be a billionaire to have they leverage multiple families to cover the cost of hiring all these specialists. And so anywhere from 50 million to 500 million for a multifamily office, and some of them probably come down closer to 10 million. And then the virtual family office has brought it down to, we will work with people that is a million plus as far as gross revenue. And that allows them to have that team base. So what happens with, like you were talking about in your intro, is when businesses start to grow, the complexity grows with it. And so you have these advisors, coming and talking to you from their own silo of expertise.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more things. You're hiring employees, the contracts get bigger, you get more contracts, so you're handling more relationships. And so it does get really, really taxing. And there's a book out there. Well, my book first, I'll do a cheap plug on my book,
Do it.
which is The Virtual Family Office Advantage, which goes into what that kind of planning does for a business owner and why it's so important.
Yeah.
And then I have a note to CPAs in there too. So CPAs can actually use the virtual family office to bring more value to their clients. But the other book that I actually mentioned in my book is by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Harding. It's called Who Not How. And as a business owner grows, that's the mindset they have to really embrace, who, not how. Instead of how do I do this, and doing things that maybe are outside of their wheelhouse. Yeah, they're a business owner and they can figure it out, they can learn it. But is that the best use of their time? How much time are they wasting on the how instead of just finding the who and plug them in and keep growing their business?
Yeah.
And business owners hit a plateau for one of two reasons, or maybe even both. One of them is their bandwidth. They've taken on too much. There's only so much you can do during the day and into the evening a lot of times. And so they get maxed out by their bandwidth. The other thing that maxes them out is their thought process,
Yeah.
and their own ability is as far as their nervous system, the container that they can grow. I heard a great story the other day about a guy that started a business and he grew it to 10 million, and then he would sell it. And every business he started, he would max out at 10 million. And it was because of his internal beliefs and different things like that. So, kind of just went on a tangent there.
No, I
So I better
love it.
let you interact or ask any other follow-up
Yeah.
questions on that.
No, my neurospicy brain has so many. So I guess I want to start at the part where in the beginning you're kind of talking about meeting these people and they're miserable. And in the space where I've been, like getting to coach really high income earners, they were the most miserable people I've ever met. The most depressed, the most, I mean, from my standpoint, that was the model, right? Like, I want to be like these people that I'm working with and having these conversations. I'm like, wow. So they look really good on paper. Social media, they look amazing. I mean, they're earning millions of dollars a year. They're working with like some of the greatest names in the entrepreneurial space. And then I have the conversation with them and they're just in tears and like they don't see the hope. So I think that underlying message, and you know, there's a lot of messaging here in this conversation. Also, I had no idea until I read your bio about family office. So I'm glad we're talking about this for people that can scale there. And I guess what do you think? Because I do have a lot of entrepreneurs that tune in, and their dream is to have this kind of problem, right? Like that's the goal, like to trade up for a little bit of those problems. What is the biggest mistake that the one single thing, can you pinpoint something that once their business starts growing, what is the biggest mistake they're making?
Just don't, I guess kind of the one that really sticks out in my head, and we kind of touched on already, is that who, not how, because you got to learn how to delegate and bring on leadership in within your organization. And so you get to a certain point, if you really want to scale it, you got to bring on some leadership, somebody that is you can trust and has some great values and is just a well-rounded person that you can trust to delegate some of it and then get good at delegating too. Always keep an eye on things for sure, but got to build that trust with that leader within that they can handle it.
I love that. And I think this is a great conversation even for like the entrepreneurs that are just starting. Something I learned a long time ago, just even about your time of just like, right, if someone else can mow your grass and you could be working on your computer instead of mowing your grass, like have someone mow your grass. And it's the
Right.
same thing of like, you know, can someone clean the house so you can be creating? It is that focus on what you're good at and So that starts small. I think that is a habit that even people, especially people growing their business, that's a habit I think we can learn early so that it makes it a little easier, 'cause I think people have control problems also. So
For sure.
how do you run into that? 'Cause right now, right, my listen bitch empire is me. Like, this is it, right? I have the trust issues, I have the control issues, I have all these things, and I couldn't even mentally imagine right now, Dale, handing anything over. Like, I couldn't hand over my social media because that's my heart speaking, right? Like, I can't hand this to you. Giving my passwords. There's one person, and he lives in Egypt and he works on Fiverr, who has my passwords because he does my website, right? So how do you help work with these people who have issues like that? Just the trust, how do you get them to let go?
That's tough, because you're right. Nobody can do it better than you, right?
Yeah.
Which is true and not true, of course.
Yeah.
And it's becoming self-aware. It really is. And that's something I've been working on a lot. And Joe Dispenza, who I love,
Oh, he's great.
talks about making the unconscious conscious.
Yeah.
Understanding your thought process, and because we are just we are as human beings are just a set of programs, right?
Yep.
Starting from our childhood, we downloaded from our parents, from our
Yep.
teachers, and our coping mechanisms when
Yeah.
we were in tight situations or traumatic situations as a kid. We grabbed well onto coping mechanisms, and all that stuff from our childhood creates who we are as an adult and how we handle things, and especially in business as well. And so, becoming aware of your habits, becoming aware of your shortcomings, and not be, and learning how to not beat yourself up too, right?
Yeah.
Don't live in self-condemnation, because that doesn't do anything for you. Learning how to observe and go, okay, I see an area I need to work on, and then just go to work on it, and being conscious every time it comes up. Just make that adjustment, and make it, and learn how to get quicker at making that adjustment, and then pretty soon, it sticks.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of really making the unconscious conscious, and learning, and once you start to observe your thoughts instead of being your thoughts, because the mind, you're not your thoughts. You can think purposely, right? We
Yeah.
can, figure things out and think on purpose, but most of the time we're driving down the road or whatever. Thoughts are just coming through our head. And so you got
Yeah.
to learn how to observe the different thoughts. That'll help you understand a little bit about some of your, limiting beliefs and some of the areas that you need to work on.
Yeah.
And it's just life becomes a lot more fun, at least it has for me, when I really started to make the unconscious conscious. And when I pay attention to your energy. So when you feel off a little bit, just start running through some things and going, okay, what triggered this energy right now? And then you can figure out what triggered you, and then you can go in and reframe it, and then create a better energy that, because the last thing you want to do when you're working and focusing and you're building a business,
Yeah.
is to have your energy off, because now you're paddling upstream. And so get into the flow, and just know when you need to take breaks, and trying to grind through it. It's not a good idea. I've done it, and it's not a. It's like, oh, I can't take a break. I need to just keep grinding here.
Yes.
Like, no, man, just go take a break. Go walk into nature, get your mind right, and get back into flow. And you'd be amazed when you're at peace, and you learn how to focus on your breath too to bring back the center. How much more creativity comes in, because when you're in stress, that's the same as being in fight or flight mode, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you're stressed about something, and people under what fight or flight mode means, people have heard it, but what they don't understand, I think, what some people don't understand is, so when you go into fight or flight, it would be like if you're fighting a tumor for health things. Let's just give a health example. If you're fighting, your body's fighting a tumor, and then all of a sudden a saber-toothed tiger is coming out of the weeds, your body goes, okay, tumor, not a big deal. Tiger is an immediate threat, fight or
Yeah.
flight, meaning all your energy goes to your extremities. And so they drop the immune system, and you're in fight or flight mode, meaning, Fight or flight. So your extremities get all the energy. And that's why people get sick when they're under stress. When I get sick, I go, okay, what am I stressing about? So
Yes.
it's either I'm not getting enough sleep, my diet is really healthy, I work out. So it's mainly stress that will get you sick. So a mistake that business owners make is they start to stress about what's going on. And when you stress about what's going on, your body goes into fight or flight mode and your creativity shuts down. And so that's why taking breaks is so important, so you can get back into flow and let go of the stresses and then come back and sit down and creativity starts to kick in again. And that's where you can start accomplishing a lot, because now you're tapping into whatever you want to call it, the field, the Akashic records, different things like that, that allow you to pull in different ideas and different opportunities will present themselves.
I absolutely love what you're saying there, because I think visionaries, like entrepreneurs, are just naturally we're visionaries, but once we get into that stress, we have tunnel vision. And so you can't problem solve, you can't see the bigger picture, and then everything gets huge, right? The monsters get huge because, again, the thoughts get bad and we spiral. And I think that's something that we always have to be aware of that thought. You're so correct on those thoughts. And what I would add to that is that your feelings are liars too, and that's the point of that awareness, right? Like, what am I really feeling right now? Someone said something to me, it triggered this whole doubt situation in my head, but what is the truth? And you're so correct, because we get to choose, we get to reframe that truth, and it changes everything. And I think, I mean, perspective. I think it takes a level of growth. I think our entrepreneurs, our visionaries, our creators kind of have to hit that rock bottom to be able to see the truth and perspective of, like, everything's a gift for us, right? You screw up in business, I mean, you're still doing more than 80% of the world right now, because you're trying and you learn your lesson and you move on. And that's kind of the model. We're in the arena. Like, what are we going to do if we just throw our gloves in, throw the towel in, is that what they say? Throw the towel in, we just give up. Like, what are you going to do from there? So if we could just make everything understand, like, it's working for us, it's data, like you said, we're just programmed. And so everything is data. And if we can collect the data, that's how we can, figure out how to flip those scripts, really. But I mean, this whole hustle culture, I love that. That's been a constant in every conversation I've had. That hustle culture is dying, because there is nothing that's going to serve your business by, pulling all-nighters and, just giving everything you have. Because then there's really nothing left to give. And energetically, yeah, maybe Dale shows up and he does, all the emails and all the meetings, and he's emotionally, physically, mentally disconnected. You're still doing the work, but, like, your clients are going to feel that. You're going to be like, he's not really in this, And there's a miscommunication. I do think that we are, I mean, everything is relational. I think how we feel definitely affects other people. And so if you're disconnected, I'd be like, yeah, he's not really in this. And so hustle culture, really, you have to take time to unplug, get into nature. I think there's a season, right? I had a whole week this month where I didn't get to bed before midnight because I had priorities and other things happened. But I know s sustainability matters. There's no way I could stay up until midnight every night of my life. It was a rough week, and then recalibrating back into that. So I respect the seasons. There's some things that we're willing to do what it takes, but I think it's important to figure out what's sustainable. And the hustle culture is not sustainable.
You hit something right on the head there. And I read about this, and I want to get back into it some more. I don't know where I read it, and I should have pulled it out, but there are seasons for us. And everybody's got a little bit different of a season throughout a 12 year calendar year. So there are seasons for growth, and there are seasons for plateau, and then there are seasons for just rest. And you got to learn how to identify those seasons. And I'm not there yet. I'll be honest with you, but I know they're there. And so you gotta, because you get frustrated sometimes because you want to see that growth all the time. And you got to be cool with just taking action and not paying attention to the growth. You still have to look at indicators and different things like that, but you also have to understand there are seasons. So you can hit it hard for a while and then hardly see anything. And then other times you're just like, oh, this is incredible. It's just coming together and everything. So there are these incredible seasons and the plateau seasons. You got to just not grind through them, just keep taking action. And I'm telling you what, I heard the statement, and I believe it's 100% true, but all stress is self-induced. All stress. It's how you frame everything. It's what you got to get done. It's what happens if this doesn't happen. What if this happens? Oh my God, what, you know, it's all self-induced. And so when you look at it from that point of view, you can go, okay, I'm feeling some stress now. And I go back through it. What's causing it? Okay, there it is. I see it. And I'll reframe it, or I'll just meditate on it, or just, put it in perspective. And and I'm telling you, one of the things I'm studying most, I just got a course from Dan Bruhl, Bruel, I believe it is. He's a breathwork expert. Tony Robbins, and said some nice things about him too. And he's got some other great people that testimonials, I guess, is what I'm saying. But the breath work is so important, and I suggest everybody study the breath, and because you can create a lot of different things in your life as far as health, and just peace, taking a break. So just focus on your breath if you're starting to get stressed out. And so I highly recommend people studying the breath work and breath and how to, affects different parts of your life, and pay attention to the breath.
No, I'm constantly reminding people on my Listen Bitch podcast about breathing through your nose because I notice it in other people now. I'm like, wow, that's a mouth breather. You guys don't understand. And I mean, don't take my word for it. Do the research on that. But just even mouth breathing, I'm not even talking about like breath work, like doing the counts or anything. I'm saying if you could just consciously become aware and a couple times a day, like ask yourself, am I breathing through my nose? Like in and out of your nose all day long, it changes everything. Like cellular level changes happen in your body.
It's
And you
huge.
can, yeah, it's phenomenal. And that's part of, you know, that awareness and, you know, talking about those seasons. It took me a long time to get to that process. Like I submersed myself with all these, you know, high income earners, and it was a point in my life where I had, you know, a new baby. I have six kids at home, right? So I can't show up the same way these people are showing up, and it really pulled me down. And I hated everywhere I was at. I hated myself. I'm like, why can't I do what they're doing? Well, duh. Like you're in a whole season. And so even now of just, you know, it's that mindfulness, it is that breathing through the process. I would say the down season I had, this was the first time maybe a year ago that I really had a down season where I didn't know what I was doing. I had one podcast show. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore. I burnt down a whole business. That quiet season is where I got everything I needed from God to clarify what my next move was. In that quiet season, it wasn't anything I was doing. And then it was easy once I was open to that opportunity. I kept having this message of like, do the guest show, do the guest show. It took me a long time to get it started, but it has been one of the greatest things for me. Just the growth. I get to have incredible conversations with people like you. I get to learn something new several times a day. And you know, it's that perspective of like, I'm still in the season of I have kids. I still have four kids at home. I homeschool. I do those things. I can't. It's not my season to, you know, do the midnight hours, right? Do I want to? Oh my gosh, Dale, I'm so passionate about everything I'm building right now. I could work all night long if I could work all night long, because that's the season I'm in. It's not even a hustle culture. It is just pure joy of like, I get to do this. I get to have these conversations. I get to create this. Like, it's so there's a part of me where I just want to run like crazy, and then I'm still the mom. And I'm like, okay, well, I have three softball games tonight. My kids I need their worksheets. I still have to print worksheets out for today for school. So it's that big balance, and I'm telling you, breathing saves my life.
Oh, I
living.
bet it does. And good for you for really paying attention and being, I went through a tough season after the 2008 financial crisis. We kind of lost everything. I was in real estate back then. And so I lost some time because I wasn't present with my kids. We have five kids. And so good for you for being present enough to know that, okay, this is not my season to be the high performer, but you still can maximize your time. The hardest part, when you're doing what you're doing, which is being an entrepreneur and you're passionate about what you're doing, is being present when you're with them. That's the hardest part. It was for me. The one thing I would read, I suggest, and you may have already read this, but the five love languages. Have you read
Definitely.
that? Yeah, because knowing your kids, but knowing your spouse's love language is obviously huge. We tend to do to the other person what our love language is, and we think we're knocking it out of the park. Because I'm physical touch. My wife is gifts and acts of service, right? So I'm just hogging all over, thinking I'm the greatest guy ever, and she's like, "That's not my love language." She's not saying it. It's just not feeling loved because these are her love languages, and I'm giving her what my love language is. So, kids, super important to know what their love language is. So, if you are running hard in certain seasons of your life, you know what they need to feel loved. And if you nail that with all your kids, and you can, they'll be just much more rounded and happy because their love tank continuously being filled up. So, good for you for having read that book. I think it parents. Well, all couples should read it first and foremost. And if you're gonna have kids, most definitely you should read that.
No, I very much agree. And it's funny because their languages change in their different seasons at the same time. I'm in awe of them, and I think communication too, right? Like my whole family, I'm like, I'm making a push this whole year. I have a goal. I'm starting a new show. I have a goal. 1 year of this, I'm pushing, which means, during they know my hours that I'm doing interviews, and that's my line in the sand. I'm available after this. I'm 100% yours, but like this is my goal. And I think just communication, of telling them like what I'm doing. But yeah, the there's a little kid inside of me that is so excited that I wish I could go crazy. Like this is the passionate moment of my life, but it's that breathing helps me to be able to sit on the couch and just do nothing when my 7-year-old wants to cuddle, right? She's been under the weather the past couple of days, and that's what she wants. And so it is that breathing of just like being present and being able to hold her when I have 100 other things I could be doing, right? Like I have 100 things I could be doing, or going to dinner with the family on a Sunday, going out to eat. Biggest stress for me. I'm like, you guys, I cannot. I have, I need to prep for my week. This is the thing I want to do. They don't care about that. Sunday's family day, I check out, and it is that breathing. It is that just relax. Like, what's gonna happen? Right? What's gonna happen if I don't show up? And so I think it's very human of us to kind of go back and forth in how we show up and recognizing that season. Someday I'm not gonna have babies at home. And that terrifies me because that's been my identity for 24 years. I'm a mom. It's been my identity. Someday they're not going to be here and I'm going to be able to do all the things, So I remind myself, like, just appreciate that I get to be here. I get to take them to every softball game, every practice, every track, every cross country meet. I get to do that. There's a lot of parents that, both mom and dad have to work and they don't get the opportunity that I do. And it's the same thing of like, I get to homeschool them. They're here all day. I love that. So it's just about, working through that process in that season. What role does ego play in bad business decision making? Because I think that's a thing too, people getting into their ego.
It plays a big, big part of it, because business owners are, that's their baby, right? And so, they only, like I said earlier, nobody can do it like you can. And so that, ego of I can, nobody else can do what I'm doing. Nobody, and I'll be honest with you, when you take that, there's EBITDA, right? We all know, what EBITDA is, and but there's enterprise value, which has nothing to do with EBITDA. And I'll give you an example. There was a company, it's called the owner Mark. I don't want to put out any names, but he had a company that was grossing 6 million and netting 4 million, but it wasn't saleable at all, because he had the income was coming from two government contracts, and the relationship was through him. So there was not another company, even though there was incredible cash flow, you know. And so our team worked with him, took a while, but we diversified the contracts, got more business coming in, brought in leadership. He could obviously afford to pay somebody. And so he brought in leadership and developed the relationships with his leader, and it sold for tens of millions of dollars. And so that's where the ego will get in play. That's where the ego can really cost a business owner, because when they're trying to sell their business, they didn't do what it took to raise that enterprise value. And so the ego got in the way of them to, you know, bringing on leaders. And the best way to understand enterprise value is, how well can a company run when you're not there? Can you take a month off and the company just keep
And be
running
okay.
beautifully?
That's a
And
great
if you can
question.
say yes to that, now you got a company that's very saleable. And if you got to say no to that, then you got some work ahead of you. If you really want, you know, if that's your end goal, which typically it is, you know, whether you pass it down, you want to pass something down that runs on its own, or you're going to sell it, you want to get max value, then you have to not be that important to the business if you want max value.
Ooh, there goes the ego. I know that hurts a lot of people. I'm
Yeah.
sure they need a little Joe Dispenza to get them through that process.
Right. Oh yeah. I love Joe. I listen to Joe, Bruce Lipton, just to understand, you know, his side of things, because he came from the pharmaceutical side of things, and that. And then Greg Braden, who understands the heart at a high level. And then I listen to, like, the spiritual side of Esther Hicks, and Bashan, I think he's this other guy I came across. So it's a nice mixture of the science side of things, like Joe and Bruce and Greg have, and then the spiritual side. You mix them together, and you can really create peace in your life, and build and be the creators we're meant to be.
No, I very much agree with that. And people ask me all the time, like, how do you do everything? And it's I fill my cup first. Like every morning I have a routine, and it is I read the Bible in the quiet. There's nobody talking to me. My kitten is cuddled on my lap, and I have my tea, and I do a workout. Like the days I don't do that, I'm not calibrated. It just doesn't
No.
feel right. But the days I do, and I'm willing to be open, I'm definitely not the same person without it. So I think having that routine of like filling your cup, that's how I
Yep.
can give to so many people. That's how I can have seven interviews a day and still, laugh and smile with my kids at their games, or, have the energy to make dinner because I've calibrated. I know what's coming. I know which places get which part of my energy. So I think having that habit of being able to take what fits you. I think it's very individualized, obviously.
Yeah.
But that physical part, I think it's so simple how much our lives could change if we all just went outside and didn't have our phones in our hands and, bare feet on the grass. Or
Bare feet, for sure.
I'm in Michigan. I'm looking forward to my feet in the sand here in the next couple weeks, I hope. Just bare feet there, and just it shows you how big the world is. So your problems, your business, it really means nothing. We get so that tunnel vision, right?
Yeah,
We
we
get
do.
so like hyped in on this. But if you guys just go out and really connect there, and you eat well, I mean, that attributes to everything. I've been very strict in my process, but I wasn't always like that. There's no way I could hold several interviews a day if I just slammed a cheeseburger and fries. I'd be like snoring. I couldn't have the energy. And
Yeah.
so it's really, everyone's like, well, it's hard. Yeah, it's not fun. I eat chicken and rice and bean and
Yeah.
rice like every day. But also I think about who do I want to show up to be in business. Like I want to be present for everybody that takes time to be on my show because I owe them that. I'm getting the time. So why am I going to feed myself a bunch of junk and not calibrate, not be my best to be able to highlight stories? Like, I want
Yeah.
to share people's stories. I couldn't do that if I didn't take care of myself. So I think that
No,
made
you're
it easy.
yeah, your cognitive ability is everything throughout the day, you
Yeah.
know. And that goes right back to your diet and then exercise as well. And
Simple things.
I have a morning routine as well. I get to, you know, I work on getting my heart and my mind connected
Yes.
and engaged in the heart as much as I can every morning. Some mornings it's easy, other mornings it's like, where is it? You know, so it's like you're trying to, you know, just get that connection going. But then I'm off to the gym. I'm at the gym at least 5 days a week, and you get out of your morning routine, and sometimes you get irritable, but most of the time you just feel off, and you just don't feel there, and your whole day is kind of messed up. So I'm very particular about my morning routine, and getting my exercise and getting my mind and heart
Yes.
right. And sometimes it's just listening to one of the things, you know, people I like to listen to on YouTube, and it
Yeah.
just kicks in the energy level, you know,
Yeah.
the and because our energy is everything. You were talking about it earlier. Your energy shows up in the room before you do.
It
And
does.
people subconsciously can pick up on energy. Some people can pick up, you know, some people you can pick up on their energy consciously, right? But when you're talking sales and working in business, because I know I went through a 10, 15-year period of low energy from after the 2008 meltdown when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to do real estate anymore. And my energy was off, but I was really good at acting like I was
Yes.
good, you know,
Yep.
but it didn't help. I couldn't get anything accomplished because I was, you know, I had to rebuild my nervous system.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the other thing I'm just learning. Not just learning, but I heard it put into a great perspective is you will only reach a certain level of success that is equal to what
What
your
you can take.
container can take.
Yes.
And that's
That
your nervous system and your energy level. You have to build that up before the success will come too. And so, you know, those hard drivers, you know, that do reach it, even though they may not have built the container, it's not sustainable for them.
No.
And that's where you see the crash and burn, and what happens is because they just ground past and got up to this level, but their nervous system and the container was never built for that success, and so
Yeah.
it'll just crash back down on them.
I think if that's a message that anyone, any entrepreneur could get, because this is the hardest thing that I would see. My down period that I talked about earlier, that's when I rebuilt my nervous system because I wasn't good for my kids. I wasn't good in my marriage. I wasn't good to make decisions for business. I just was like, I felt like really just giving up. And I'm like, what is going on with me? Because I'm so uncalibrated. I wasn't steady for my babies. And this is a period where my girls are about to start leaving the nest. They're graduating college. So I was taking all that, all of my old trauma wounds come in and just, I was hit with a bunch. And really just that quiet time is when I built my nervous system up. And what I saw working with these really these high income earners and how miserable they were, it is really, really hard when you have operated at that level and that caliber of success. It's really hard to stop and start at the beginning of like healing your nervous system. It was the hardest thing for them. And I think if I could, you know, any business owner that's starting, if you could really that brain and heart coherence, if you could start with your nervous system and get that in check, I think it saves you so much more trouble down the road. You're still going to have issues. You're still going to go through personal growth. But if you have that awareness of your nervous system, I was killing myself with cortisol poisoning. Like
Yeah.
my hip starts hurting and I'm, you know, I'm in my 40s, but I'm like, come on, man. Why is my hip hurting? You know, everybody's like, it's old age. I'm like, no, it's not. There's something going on in my body. Like this is not old age, right? I don't believe that the bullshit about like this happens when you're this age and this
No, I
happens.
don't believe that
It's
either.
so
It
stupid.
because your beliefs are your reality. So
Yeah,
why would I believe that?
exactly.
You
So I'm
know?
like, you know, you guys are full of it. I did go just to get an x-ray to make sure like I didn't somehow injure it. There's nothing there. And so I'm
Yeah.
like doing the research and I read about cortisol poisoning. And you know, everybody's selling something for cortisol, which I think is again, I mean, they'll sell you something with for any
Right.
ailment, okay? But I really went inside myself. I ran a program through AI and it, I mean, from the bottom up just to rebuild my nervous system. I don't have any pains anymore. The only
That's
time
cool.
I'm sore because I lift weights, and that's it, right? If you're gonna tell me I'm gonna hurt because of old age, I'm gonna hurt because I work out. Like you
Right.
can hurt because you're old, your back can be rough, but like I'm gonna earn the hurt. So
Yeah.
that's my pain now, is I earn the hurt, you know, can't sit down for a couple of days kind of hurt.
I
So
love that pain,
yeah,
actually.
it's
It
great. Like if I'm
is.
gonna hurt, if you guys are sure that I gotta hurt when I'm old, I'm gonna earn it, you know, but
Yeah.
healing my nervous system really it calibrated everything for this, and that's it is really, you know, the greatest compliment I get the past couple of months is like people that have followed me for 10 years are like, wow, you're different, you found your voice. And I'm like, I did, I healed my nervous system. And so it's easy to create, but entrepreneurs, honestly, your nervous system, like your brain and heart coherence, like I wish there was a manual. Well, for me, it is the Bible. That's kind of where I learned everything. But, you know, just a manual for them to understand. Like, if you work on that now, it makes it so much easier when you hit the roadblocks later.
Yeah, it is.
But,
And having the routines will get you through the tough times too.
yes.
Because it's your routine that you can fall back on to get you through any life storm that comes at you. And some of them are pretty tough, you know, if
Yeah.
it's a death of a family member
Oh,
or
yeah.
something, then that's grieving. That's a whole nother matter.
Yep.
But, you know, when in business, you know, your routine will help you get through different times, and because that's where you can keep the create your routine will help you keep your creativity at a high level.
Exactly. I love that. Dale, I've talked a lot and I realize we're going over our time and I love this conversation. So let's give them one more question, kind of bring it back home. If someone listening feels just financially scattered right now, what's the first place they need to start?
What do you mean by financially scattered?
They just don't have a system. They're not locked in. It's money's not consistent, or maybe there's a lot of it. They're not sure what to do. How do we give them some bearings on where to start? Maybe they're not investing. Maybe they just.
Well, you know, there's business owners tend to. Not all of them, but some of them, a good
Yeah.
portion of them, tend to reinvest everything back into their business, which that's good to a point. You know, one of the, you know, if we're talking with successful business owners that are, you know, up over a million gross revenue and, you know, multiple millions gross revenue, you know, the first thing that we work on is we take a look at the tax, well, how much you're paying in taxes, and we mitigate the taxes, lower the taxes, because their CPA. Even if it's a really good CPA, and they typically will have a small CPA office, will have a couple of hundred business owners. Multiple firm partner CPA will have maybe 500 to or 1,000 business owners, even. Point being, they don't have time to sit down and do tax planning with all of their clients, right? And so your CPA cannot do all the advanced strategies that a specialist can do.
Yeah.
And so increasing cash flow through tax mitigation is huge because it allows you to start to create that legacy.
Yep.
And legacy is not about a pile of cash. Legacy is truly more important as far as who you are
Yeah.
and some of the things we just got done talking about, you know, just creating that peace in your heart. So when you're interacting with your kids, you're present and you're there. But legacy, I'm getting off on a tangent again. So, you know, starting with your taxes, and let's get a tax strategist. We have a couple of them we work with, but if you got somebody else, whatever, you know, but your CPA is going to be your best advisor, but it's not always going to be the one that's going to save you the most in taxes. It's going to
Yeah.
be a strategist that knows how to work with your CPA. You don't have to change CPAs. You just need to have a strategist, and your CPA needs to be open-minded to work with these strategies to increase the cash flow. And then from there, you know, don't, you know, the last thing I want business owners to do is to save on taxes to buy a bunch of equipment that. Yeah, eventually we need it, but we really didn't need it for 2 or 3 years, but we're buying it now because we had such a good year and we just want to
Yeah.
save on taxes. That's a horrible, in my opinion, a horrible idea.
Good to know.
And then the other one that I don't like for business owners, for for employees and, other people, deferring taxes to save for retirement is a pretty good plan. But business owners, they need liquidity, whether it be to increase, build, to expand in other areas, or to ride out a downturn in business or in their particular industry. You want to have liquidity. So deferring taxes and putting it into an account that you can't touch till you're 59 and a half is a bad idea for an entrepreneur, in my opinion. So the first thing I would do is just get your taxes as low as you can legally, and then just systematically. We cover five areas with our family office. We talk tax planning, risk mitigation, wealth and legacy, legal services, and business advisory. So having somebody kind of come in, going back to the who, not how, just have somebody kind of do a look at all those areas to see, what areas of planning that you need to really embrace. Prioritize. We prioritize for everybody the areas that we think we should, and sometimes a business owner says, I need this tackled first. And so that's his first priority. But we prioritize everything, and then we just shore everything up and then work on their enterprise value. So it's just first and foremost, lower the taxes, and just become aware of what's going on too. Don't get so caught up in your business that you're just in a fight of your life every single day of the week, because that will cost you your health and your relationships.
I love that. And you're spot on with all of that. Where can people get resourced with you and find your book?
And go to my website. We got it's the Virtual Family Office Advantage.com, or we did buy the shorter version, the VFO Advantage.com.
Nice.
And my email address, if they want to reach out, and they can jump on my calendar there as well. But my email address is dale@trsfamilyoffice.com, and that's T as in Tom, or T as in taxes, R as in retirement, and S as in specialists. So yeah, they can reach out to me that way, or just go check out the book. And it's a quick read, about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Nice. Perfect. Well, Dale, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And
Oh.
it's not just that you understand the financial planning and the business aspect of things, which I think is great. You're obviously very intelligent about that. It's that you understand people, that you have pieced together the magic loop between brain and heart coherence, and you're willing to live that. You see how success creates complexity, how disconnected decisions create the stress, and how easy it is for someone to look successful while feeling overwhelmed. I think what you're doing is bringing a beautiful order to radical chaos. You are helping people to stop reacting and start thinking strategically. I think that is incredibly valuable, and I think that makes you special. And to
Thank you.
everyone listening, more money doesn't automatically create peace. More
No.
success doesn't automatically create that clarity. If your life keeps growing, your structure has to grow with it. God did not call you to build something successful but unstable. He called us to steward well, to be intentional, to be organized. And please remember that your mess is your message. Even the financial mistakes, even the disorganization, even the seasons where you felt just completely overwhelmed, that is where the wisdom gets built. Those lessons
It
are a
is.
blessing. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. You know someone that Dale will never have access to unless you are completely selfless. And just sharing it with someone you think could stand to listen to this, that needs this episode. If it spoke to you, please leave a review. Stars are cute, but words get us up in the algorithm. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, I double dog dare you. Come tell me why you're special. Dale, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a true pleasure, spending time with you. Thank you.